It seems like everyone is either starting a side hustle or becoming their own boss. And you know what they're hearing a lot? It's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/sell23, all lowercase. Whether you're selling loafers or peace lilies, Shopify simplifies selling online and in person. Covering all sales channels, from a shop front POS system to its all-in-one e-commerce platform, Shopify even gets you selling across social media marketplaces. With their 24/7 help and extensive business calls library, Shopify is ready to support your success every step of the way. Go to shopify.co.uk/sell23 to take your business to the next level today. That's shopify.co.uk/sell23.
Hello and welcome to Baseball America's Draft Podcast. I'm Carlos Clazo, joined by Peter Flaherty, here to discuss some real life baseball. Peter, what's going on, man?
At long last, not much. Had a fast and furious opening weekend, as I know you did, and just very excited to finally discuss some live action, and we'll have no shortage of it going forward for the next 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed, because there was plenty of stuff this week that I was trying to get to, and we got some weather going through the South. Did no one tell the weather that the baseball season was here? And we need no delays, no snow, no rainouts, but we got some snow systems going through the southern part of the country that are messing things up for us. I don't like that, but I did get to see a ton of really good players this weekend in Texas, is where I opened up. Peter, you were in Arizona, which has kind of been the same strategy we followed a year ago. We've got lots of content on the site following week one of the college season. Peter and Jacob have also updated our top 25, which they'll do every Monday throughout the year. If you're really into the college horse race, we're going to talk more about the specific draft podcast today. That is what we do on the draft show. But if you want to get even more in the weeds and in depth and cover more players than we will on today's podcast, definitely check out my piece on opening weekend prospects to know from Texas. That's Globe Life, the Shriners Children's College Showdown. I like the Shriners Classic better. That's flows out the tongue a little easier. But either way, great tournament. Love what they're doing out there. I love the teams they're putting together annually. There are always a ton of prospects. This year it was very hitter heavy, a lot of lefty hitters. So I was posted up down the third baseline getting open. So there's tons of video on the site to see from that. I also bounced around and saw James Ellwanger pitch at DBU just a few minutes down the road. So it was action packed for me. But how was your opening weekend in Arizona, Peter, before we get into some specific players?
It was great. MLB does a great job every year with the Desert Classic. It was a strong field again. You had teams like Vanderbilt, UCI, Grand Canyon, Nebraska, among others. Talent. There was a wealth of it, I'd say. Maybe not a wealth. Anthony Martinez being out for UCI was a little bit of a bummer. That was an unforeseen development. I was looking forward to seeing him swing it. But still got a good look at RJ Austin. Case Sanderson with Nebraska is an intriguing sophomore eligible guy. Mm-hmm. But it was honestly, it was just, as I'm sure you felt this way as well, even though you had more of a loaded field than I did. It was just great to get back to the park, get live looks at guys, get your feel back a little bit. It was opening day for everyone, but yeah, it was such a great feeling being back in a park for the first time since August.
You know,
or October, Jupiter.
There you go. The funniest part about like getting up to speed for live looks is typically if you frequently sit behind the dish, just getting your flinches under control when things depending on like where you're at. I was not behind the dish at all, but I definitely got a little rust worked out of me at like a preseason Mid-Atlantic workout this was a setup where we're legitimately like right behind the catcher with a net in front of us. And the net had a little, I don't know, it was pretty lax. So there were some erratic pitches that were going right in front of my face and I was flinching hard. Fortunately this week, that doesn't really happen in the big league stadiums. You're far enough away that it's never really been an issue too much for me. But it is fun just being in an actual stadium or at a park where there are fans who are really amped up and fired up. I had a lot of funny conversations with some passionate college fans over the weekend. So it's just nice that it's actually back and we can stop previewing players and actually react to them. So Peter, I don't know if you had any guys you wanted to mention initially, but it does seem like the biggest up arrow name to maybe discuss on our board is Patrick Forbes. And I have to say, part of this feels like I was just a little too light on him entering the year. I guess I could say collectively we at Baseball America were a little too light. We had him at 178 to start the year, and that feels multiple rounds light given what he did. So Forbes is a right-handed pitcher out of Louisville. He absolutely shoved against Texas opening night. It was the third game, first night game of the Globe Life series. 11 strikeouts, 5 hits, 5 innings, 1 walk, 2 earned runs. But the stuff was better than the performance. The body looks good. He definitely feels like the biggest, maybe the buzziest name among guys that we need to get up on the board. Would you agree with that? Or is there anyone else who jumps out to you?
Yeah, I'd say for at least initially, I think it's hard on one game, one start, one weekend, whatever it is, to have a guy, shoot up that drastically. But it's a point that I'll make probably once or twice more as we go through. But it's more like the how they did it and how they looked, mm-hmm. as opposed to like what they did and how Forbes looked was, if I was sitting here watching on Flow Sports or whatever it was on my laptop being like, whoa, I can't imagine what it was like live, because I mean, you want to talk about checking boxes.
I'm so glad I got to watch it live instead of on Flow Sports. Flow Sports is a bit of a pain.
Yeah, it's not the cheapest streaming service either, I will say. Like, you kind of bite the bullet every year to watch college baseball on the Shriner Showdown, but I digress. But yeah, with Forbes, like, and you'll talk about it more, and you saw him live, so you got a better feel for it, but like, a really good athlete on the mound, explosive look. Fastball was, I mean, in my computer look, it was an easy 6 for me. Sat in the mid 90s. I think his last pitch of the outing was a 95 mile an hour heater.
I thought he held the velocity really well. Like, immediately when he gets on the mound, you feel excited about how quick of a mover he is. He just moves well on the mound. The arm is really fast and whippy. There's like a tick of recoil in the finish, but it's nothing crazy. And I don't know if the numbers, I think they were similar on Synergy or on the broadcast, but he was like 93, 97, touch 98. And I thought there was like just a lot of arm side life that allowed him to miss a lot of barrels. I had 11 whiffs on the fastball throughout that outing. And like, to your point, it seemed like he held that pretty well. Not the deepest outing in the world, but it is nice to see people hold velocity, even if it's through 5 innings in the first outing of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you had, guys, it's the first weekend. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had guys and also in that tournament go out and be, up into the mid 90s, bump a 7 or an 8. And then by their second or third inning, be like 1-3, 1-4. So
yeah,
it was certainly encouraging to see Forbes hold it. But yeah, I mean, I thought the heater was plus, like you said, it had a ton of run and ride through the zone, stayed off the barrel, got above it of opposing hitters. And he paired it really nicely, I thought, with a sharp mid 80s slider, had a ton of sharp bite to it and 2 plane break and also flash plus in my eyes. So, I mean, it's a really tantalizing 2 pitch mix. I'm excited to see, how he continues to get lefties out, if he's able to get lefties out, and kind of develop that third pitch. But the strikes were there. The stuff was there. Great athlete, as you said, like arm speed, kind of hard to find a bigger winner from opening weekend on the mound, at least.
Yeah,
than Forbes.
And what I really liked about the slider was the fact that he got a lot of ugly swings against both righties and lefties. Like, sometimes you'll have pitchers that maybe have these sweeping sliders that play better to righties or just lacks the power to be quite as effective against lefties. But I thought on a few occasions, and watching the outing back on Synergy, he kind of had this nasty slider to the back foot of lefties that got a few whiffs. So it's like a fastball slider fronted arsenal. See how much he has to use the cutter, the changeup moving forward. But like you said, I think there was the fastball slider was plus, and you pair that with the frame, the arm speed, and we'll see what he's able to do moving forward this spring. But I had asked some scouts at the game. I was like, hey, like, this is pretty loud. We feel way light on him. They're like, yeah, he feels like a definite top two round talent.
I was going to say, at the end of it, I was like, you know, that's a top 2 to 3 round guy. Like, we'll see what it looks like, as you said, but man, that was really impressive. And he was also the benefactor of, you know, I'm sure there was a ton of heat down there in that game.
Oh yeah.
Anyways, just, and the event as a whole. So,
I think you had mentioned, like, we're not just looking at results early this year. It's kind of about how you're doing it. And I talked about this with Ben on our podcast that we recorded today as well. But I think with pitchers, it's a little easier to move the needle a little bit quicker, just because you can see the stuff and it almost doesn't matter what the competition is. You can kind of project that a little bit easier than maybe a hitter beating up on bad pitching. But I mean, he was facing a top 15. I think they were 15 or 16 at the time, ranked Texas squad, that has a lot of hitters that I think are really, really solid, both in this year's class with Max Ballou, who we'll get into. Oh, and by the way, when we talk about Max Ballou, huge, huge disappointment for me to learn that it's pronounced Ballou, and I've been saying Bellew all off season, but it is in fact pronounced Ballou. The announcer was saying Ballou, and I asked some guys, I was like, is that how you pronounce his name? They're like, yeah, I think so. And then Texas fortunately has a pronunciation guide on their website as well. So apologies to Max, and in the future, I will pronounce his name exactly how it's not spelled, but he was fun to watch as well.
Yeah, I'm with you. And you made a great point there with pitchers. Like, it's easy to see the step up and stuff. And that was, I mean, Forbes was great last year too, in a relief role, and he showed really well at USA. But like you said, just with pitchers in general, you can see that, you know, step up and stuff, whether it be velo, improved shape, whatever it is. And
Did you see him on the Cape? Because I will say one thing with Forbes that stands out is just a relative lack of track record. He threw 9.1 innings as a freshman in 2023. And then 2024, he had 4 starts, 12 appearances total, 29 innings. Then he threw in the Cape both summers, 23 and 24, 17 innings the first year, and then 13 innings and 4 starts this past summer. So really just, to your point, like, he's had good stuff. I don't think the stuff is super new. It's just like, I hope he's able to go out the spring and log a bunch of innings. Cause I think that's true for a lot of pitchers in this class, is the stuff's exciting. It's just like, what is the track record?
Yeah. I mean, he's a low mileage guy. I was fortunate enough to see him on the Cape, before he departed. He was really freaking good, and I left pretty bullish on him. Mm-hmm. But like you said, he was almost exclusively used in relief. Last year, I mean, he's been a full-time pitcher only for a year and one start now. So, I don't know. I just think, you know, if the right team and right player development department gets their hands on him, like, you know, there's a lot there with him, you know, stuff, athleticism, looks like slash hopefully improved strike throwing, more competitive around the zone, which he flashed during the summer, especially on the Cape. So, big fat up arrow next to his name.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's no shortage of other hitters we can get into from my event at Globe Life that I was at. Peter, I'm not sure if you have a specific direction you want to go, or another player that you were really impressed with opening weekend, whether it was someone you saw in person or just someone from around the country. We've obviously been scouring video and watching games back in our time after leaving the park, but what stands out to you beyond Forbes?
I think it probably makes sense to stick with the Shriners Children's deal down in Texas and, you know, discuss a guy that we just kind of mentioned in passing with Max Ballou. He burst onto the scene last year with Texas. I mean, coming out of fall practice last year, it was TBD as to whether or not he'd even crack the starting nine on opening day. And he kind of played his way into that role and then ran with it, got super hot in the middle of the spring and won Big 12 Player of the Year, got a USA invite. I didn't get the best looks at him when I saw him on the Cape, but watching him this weekend, you know, it was hard to not leave very impressed. Like, a strong physical kid. I think he's like 6'2", 210, you know, strong two-handed swing with bat speed, hammered one ball. I think it was off of Hunter Watkins, like a center cut heater, like lower half of the zone. He hit a 111 mile an hour missile off the batter's eye. Just like, you know, really strong, like, good body, like, not this kind of like wiry, athletic, projectable build by any means, but like, you know, there's a lot of appealing strength. Bat speed's there, impact's there. He's got a plus arm and right, kind of an appealing left-handed corner profile.
Yeah, I find myself liking him more probably than the industry, because like, you're right. I think the biggest critique with him that I've had in just brief conversations with scouts is the frame. Like he's not a hitter that you're going to be able to project a ton on. He is a right fielder now. So like, does he have the sort of power to profile there as like an impact or above average regular that might wind up like keeping him in the second round? Like we've got him ranked in a pretty similar range to where Jared Thomas went. Also a Texas outfielder, first baseman from last year's class. He went 42nd overall. We've got Ballou ranked number 46. I like Max maybe a tick more than Thomas, even though the bodies are different. And I'll admit, I'm probably out on a limb. I just love like his play style. He's like a very aggressive in a good way as a hitter, I thought. I mean, the results were good opening weekend, but he does expand the zone a little bit. I think for now, he has the contact skills for that to work. He really gets out of the box with a lot of effort. He's not the greatest runner in the world. Maybe he'll turn in an above average time here or there, but he's more of like a solid average runner, sometimes some fringy grades. And I don't even think he was fully healthy this weekend. He was dealing with some illnesses or an illness, like flu-like symptoms he had. He DH'd part of the time because of that, I think. But yeah, big arm. I just really find myself liking him, even if it's not the sexiest profile. And I would be surprised if he's actually the 6'2 he's listed at. He looks a little more compact, a little shorter than that, but who knows?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think the one question I've got, and it's, I think people sharing it, is the hit tool, you know, what that eventually looks like. And, you know, the contact skills are slightly above average. I'm just kind of curious to see. The look I got on the Cape wasn't the most encouraging. Like there was a lot of whiff. There was a lot of expanding of the strike zone.
Yeah. So he went 222, 307, 352 in 18 games in the Cape, 21 strikeouts to 5 walks. I did think that like he was a bit aggressive in his swing decision. Like sometimes you just swing at pitches that weren't ideal in hitters counts or even counts. Is that what you saw as well?
Yeah, I saw the exact same thing on the Cape. Just the tendency to expand the zone a little bit. You get kind of a little jumpy at times. And then spin was kind of the biggest bugaboo and picking it up out of the hand. But that's kind of, you know, as you said, that is who he is as a hitter and sort of what makes him so successful to an extent. So I think finding a happy medium is key. But, you know, it's, for me, it's above average power. I think it play, like, if he's able to make enough contact for it to play like above average power in game, I think that'd be a huge plus, because the hit tool is probably a 45, you could argue a 50 when all said and done.
Yeah. Suckers like me who are really in on him will probably go 50 on the hit tool just because I like him. And
I'd probably go more close to a 45 than a 50, but like I think it's a very reasonable grade to stick on it. But yeah, you know, you've got above average power from the left side, plus arm, corner profile. Like he'll probably end up hitting 20-ish home runs, and have a solid enough spring. Like he'll probably stick in that 2-3 round range, probably end up going in the second.
Okay, let's move into the highest ranked player from this event from the weekend, who I was really excited to see, and that's Cam Cannarella, who we have on our board at number 6 overall. He didn't have quite as electric just performance and results weekend as Ballou. He went 4-for-12, hit .333, a trio of doubles, a walk, 4 strikeouts. Mostly I was excited to see what the defense and the arm was looking like. It still seems like he's not 100% with the arm, still working back from that offseason surgery. He wasn't a full participant in Clemson's in and out in between innings. He was kind of warming up on the side of the outfield, wasn't throwing much more than 60 feet or so. I don't think it's anything really to be too concerned about, just more of like a going through the process and waiting to get to 100%. But I was expecting maybe a little bit more contact from Mr. Cannarella this weekend. It feels like he's still sort of getting his timing back. I know if you just look at all of our hitters in this class, he has some of the best contact rates and just bat to ball skills throughout his college career. He's hit well over 300 back to back years. But there was a little more swing and miss this weekend than I thought, Peter. But the good thing with Cannarella is he's a slam dunk center field profile. So I think he's definitely going to make plenty of contact this year, and we'll see what happens. But saw some of the tools. He ran around the outfield and caught a few impressive balls. But yeah, any thoughts on Cannarella?
Yeah, I think, you know, he didn't have the loudest weekend by any stretch of the imagination. I think you said he went 4-for-12 with a few extra base hits. There was some whiff in there, but unless that becomes like an actual potential hindrance over a lengthy period of time, you know, I'm willing to stick with the six on the hit tool and the contact ability. I mean, last year, I think it was it definitely was 90 plus in zone overall contact rate. I think it may have been upwards of like 93, 94. But yeah, I think, you know, the hit ability is there. He's a slam dunk center fielder. As you mentioned, the speed and instincts in baseball sense are all there. Gets really good off the bat reads, quick first step. He made you referenced it, a really good play going back on a ball that was smoked. I forget by who, but he made an excellent play on it. He's got range out there. You don't have really many concerns about the defensive profile. I think it's just how much is he going to impact the baseball. I think it's, you know, when you look at the body, it's not, you know, I think on the surface, he's got this almost, I wouldn't call him skin, like he's this like skinny, wiry athlete, but like, I don't know if it's quite the frame you could put 15-ish, 20 pounds on. I think that's just who he is.
Like Brandon Summerhill is a little bit taller, a little bit leaner. You can see him like hanging some good weight on his frame in the future, whereas Cannarella probably doesn't have that sort of similar production.
Right.
Or so, similar projection.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. So it's interesting. Like the power is probably going to play it as like a 40, 45 at best professionally. But, you know, if you're convicted on the 55, 60 hit tool, he's going to hit enough. And he runs way, like he's a plus runner. He runs way better than the lack of stolen bases he had last year. It's just because of the shoulder, which is still an ongoing issue, which will be interesting to follow. But
it was funny. He wasn't stealing last year because they were trying to minimize his slide opportunities just because that's how he hurt his shoulder and don't want anything to happen. And then this weekend he doubles in 1AB and is rounding first and going hard into second base and has this like he looks out of practice sliding. I'll say it was not the most clean slide into second base. We've got video of it on the site if you want to see. But like I was a little worried. I was like, oh, don't tweak anything in the shoulder there, Cam. But
that would have been brutal. Yeah, it'll be something to follow because, I mean, shoulders are tough. Like, you know, we saw it last year a little bit with Nick Kurtz and how that was kind of a sort of an ongoing issue. It didn't really hamper his draft stock much. I can't imagine it will with Cannarella, depending on what it actually is. But
I don't think so. I mean,
he fits like, I don't know. It's interesting because like we were saying, it's 40, 45 power probably with Wood. And you know, you're gonna have to really believe in the hit tool, but it is this up the middle profile. There are tools there. I'd take him like in the like top 20 overall, top 15 overall.
Yeah, we've got him towards that upper tier. I mean, there's just a little bit more, like I like the swing. I think his hands are really quick and loose and easy. And in BP, he did a really nice job just like barreling up. But I think they're just, I mean, first weekend, I don't wanna overreact too much, but I would hesitate to put a six on the hit tool. There's just a little bit more hand movement in the load. I'm watching video on him now as we're talking about it, but like he's got a lot of bat waggle. He moves around in the box a little with the upper half. There's a little bit of a hand press. Like none of this is an issue ultimately. I just thought the timing was maybe a little bit off. Either way, good overall profile. And again, hopefully we can see him fully healthy with the arm and really letting throws loose and seeing what kind of arm we're dealing with when he's healthy.
I will say on the arm front, not to speak on it, even when he gets back to fully healthy, he'll stick in center because of the instincts and the speed and the athleticism. He's not a noodle, but he doesn't have as loud a tool by any stretch. No.
Yeah. Fortunately, I think the instincts and the range and the glove work are a little more important in center field than the arm. So, okay. Well, any other guys from, again, like if you guys want to see all the video from these top ranked players and more notes on all of them, definitely check out the site, because that's as detailed as we'll get. It's hard to get as thorough on the podcast, and we don't want to give away every little thing we wrote about this weekend on the pod. But yeah, any other players from Texas stand out to you, Peter?
No one really like moved the needle that, like, even Ballou, like the guy that probably moved the needle the most of anyone was Forbes, and I think he's the beneficiary of being an arm, like you said, and circling way back and flashing that stuff. Like, even for as well as Ballou played, it doesn't really change my overall thinking on him as a prospect. Yeah. Same with Cannarella and Summerhill. Obviously, that'll, you know, that could change as we get further along, and these like flash in the pans could become actual developments for better or worse for these guys. But I don't think anyone really on the position player side affected their stock that much, at least in Arlington.
It seems like everyone is either starting a side hustle or becoming their own boss. And you know what they're hearing a lot? It's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/sell23, all lowercase. Whether you're selling loafers or peace lilies, Shopify simplifies selling online and in person. Covering all sales channels, from a shop front POS system to its all-in-one e-commerce platform, Shopify even gets you selling across social media marketplaces. With their 24/7 help and extensive business course library, Shopify is ready to support your success every step of the way. Go to shopify.co.uk/sell23 to take your business to the next level today. That's shopify.co.uk/sell23.
Yeah, I think, like we talked about earlier, probably harder for a hitter to just dramatically change their evaluation in 1 weekend early. But I will say Jared Spencer at Texas, he spent 3 years at Indiana State, was draft eligible last year, went in the 14th round, didn't sign. I thought he looked better than a year ago. I'm curious how he'll look throughout the spring. Working with Max Wiener over there at Texas, who has a great reputation as a pitching coach in college baseball, he used changeup a lot more in this outing. Like, he was pretty exclusively fastball slider a year ago, and he showed a legitimately good changeup, I thought, 82, 86. I mean, the delivery still has some effort and is a little reliever-ish, but if he's able to show a legit three-pitch mix, still has that electric fastball slider combination from the left side, touch 97, like, I still like him quite a bit. I liked him last year, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, if seeing him announced as the Friday starter, I was like, whoa. He split time between the rotation and the bullpen last year at Indiana State. Like you said, he predominantly relied on that fastball slider combo, which is, it's impressive, especially the slider. But there were a few changeups he turned over. There was one to Eddie King in like the fourth or fifth inning. I was watching video back on it, had some late tumble. The usage is up. It's clear that it's a pitch that's trending in the right direction. And if it can turn into a legit third offering, which it looked the part of on Friday night, he immediately becomes a much more intriguing guy, especially like Friday night starters that perform well in the SEC. They don't really last long on draft boards. So, I mean,
if you throw with the left hand.
Yeah, exactly. A lefty starter at that. So he was another guy that I was really impressed with. So I'm glad you mentioned him.
Cool. Well, that's kind of all the guys I wanted to talk about from Texas specifically of my in-person looks. I do want to talk to you about
Merrick Houston. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wrote about Merrick Houston for a piece that's going to be on the site Friday. So as you're listening to this, it might already be live. Talked to Coach Tom Malter at Wake just a little bit about Merrick's development. But one thing, and we might have mentioned it on the player draft that you unfortunately were not a part of this year, Peter. Prayers for next year. I was excited about Merrick Houston just in general because it's a lot of contact. It's a great defender at shortstop. But just talking with some scouts who saw him in the fall and noted the physicality that he was showing in the body, just getting excited about what he could show offensively in the power department this year. He's like 20 pounds heavier than his listed weight from a year ago. It's actually a little bit No, his official list of weight is like 20 pounds heavier, but he was listed at 185. Now he's listed at 205. Opening weekend, he went bonkers, hit 3 home runs, a homer in each of his first 3 games, was the ACC player of the week. If Merrick Houston now has significantly more power, if we're talking about a different power profile with him, what's the question mark in his game, Peter?
It's a very interesting question because it gets increasingly harder to poke holes in it. I mean, to go back to that theme of the how you do it and not the what, to an extent, obviously going 10 for 14 is impressive no matter, you know, who you do it against and what you do. You'd rather go 10 for 14 than 3 for 14. But how he looked in the box and just the operation in general, like seeing him right away looked, and even throughout the fall, like on social media, looked way more physical, like totally transformed his body in a good way. Like it's a legit big league body now. And like how he was doing it in the box, there's a clear added degree of explosiveness and intent there in his swing that I think is so appealing, because that was the main knock and question mark. It's like, yeah, you know, he's got a 55 hit tool. It could be closer to a 6 than a 55 when all is said and done. Really advanced contact skills, comfortably plus defender, like a lot of like, okay, this is what it looks like at shortstop. It's just how much is he going to impact the ball and how much does that hold him back? And I mean, it's a long season and he's 4 games in and 5 games into it now. But man, that was really, really loud what he did and how he looked doing it. Opening weekend, like this wasn't last year where it was like, you know, it's no secret Wake's a hitter friendly ballpark. Like,
well, I was looking at when I saw him hit 3 home runs, I immediately was like, okay, how long did it take him a year ago to hit his 3rd home run? Because he only hit 8 home runs total a year ago in the same park, obviously. Like, if you want to say, oh, he's only hitting home runs because he's at Wake. Well, we're comparing his same park a year ago to now. So, like, a change there is still important. But he took 22 games and until April 2nd to hit his 3rd home run a year ago. So, unless, like, knock on wood here, unless he gets hurt, I expect him to blow past that 8 homer figure and set a new single season high this spring. And Coach Walter was saying he's running better too. So we see this at times with players. They have a really strong off season. The body gets a lot better. The power, the speed ticks up. Like if Merrick Houston is now toolsy and not just a savant with the glove and a real contact oriented hitter, I mean, you're talking about a really well-rounded premium profile who's done it in a major conference. Now, we'll still wait and see, obviously, how he performs. I think if you dig into some of his numbers, we'd like to see him hit for impact against quality breaking balls, better velocity. He was not facing the most high octane velocity this weekend, and a lot of it is still to the pull side. I'm excited to see like how he's able to drive the ball to the opposite field gap moving forward, but I think you just have to be encouraged with how the body looks when you're already talking about a player with the starting points of a defender and a contact hitter that Houston was. So I'm really excited to get eyes on him in person at some point this spring and just encouraged over with the profile overall.
Yeah. And I mean, I was reasonably bullish on him even coming out of the summer with the impact questions. I think the glove and the hit ability were already advanced, especially the glove, but man, where he now more than looks the part and is impacting the baseball more, there's a legit added degree of explosiveness. Like that's you mentioned it, but like where is the hole now in his game? And that could become more apparent as the spring goes on, but you know, this is like potential top 15-ish type upside, perhaps even higher.
Yeah, like it wouldn't shock me if he does just start banging this year to a degree that he hasn't done before, if he went inside the top 10, because again, like looking for holes in the profile, it's hard to figure one out. I mean, maybe if you say, okay, I'm not really buying into power because of college baseball, because that park, I guess I get it, but just physically he's a different animal this year. So I would imagine there's a real reason to change like a power projection for a player like that.
Yeah, I know I have, even just based on the first weekend alone, like, just based on that. So not saying he's a plus or even a 55 power guy, but you know, you feel a lot more comfortable projecting on like a
Yeah.
Or even a
I mean, even if we're going on, even if we're going from like a well below average 30 grade in-game power projection to a 40, that's a pretty significant difference to me for a shortstop. And
yeah,
I can't wait till we get our hands on some TrackMan data to see like what his 90th is looking like. Cause if you compare him in the piece we did, like plotting power contact for all the top hitters in the class, like Merrick Houston was the lightest hitting player of that group. If he's just more in the average category, I just think it significantly changes his profile. So, and I drafted Merrick Houston. Peter, maybe if you were in the draft, you would have taken him because I know you love him, but he was on my draft team. So I'm very excited to maybe get some helium there.
That's a great pick. And he probably got him for a steal too, where you got him and, you know, kind of where he's trending. It's a long spring, but that's a great point too, because coming into it, like leaving the summer, it was legit like 30 game power, but even now we're like, you know, you can say, okay, this could end up as a, you know, 40 or a 45 when all is said and done. That's a major step in the right direction. So it's a very productive opening weekend for Mr. Houston.
Yeah, I got two other pitchers I could mention here, but I'm curious if there are any other players that stood out to you, Peter, as we get close to wrapping this thing up.
I'd say in terms of like what Merrick did, and I could be missing someone, no, like Brandon Compton looked really, really good at Arizona State, just kind of you know, made us look a little smart with, you know, he can really, really impact the baseball. The approach was there, big time bat speed and kind of this compact explosiveness in the box. He swung the bat really, really well. But it's so hard, like for hitters, as we've been saying, to like hang your hat on 3, 4, or 5 games and 15 to 20 ish at bats. Like no one looked kind of like drastically as different than they did last spring as someone like Merrick Houston. So that's kind of all the thoughts I've got on the position player side.
Cool. Well, one pitcher I want to mention again, this is a pitcher that I've written about for Friday. So if you want to get even more in the weeds on him, that is up on the site as this, or at least shortly after this podcast comes out early on Friday morning. But Liam Doyle at Tennessee, I mean, he had one of the more electric outings just from a results standpoint this weekend, but the stuff was equally good or maybe even better. It was 11 strikeouts, 5 innings, 1 hit, no walks, no runs against Hofstra. So he wasn't facing the SEC sort of caliber lineups that he's going to face moving forward. But Doyle had a ton of chatter over the offseason from a lot of scouts who were just really praising the fastball life. And it was very easy to see why they were praising it in this first outing. He had 18 whiffs on his fastball of his 22 total whiffs, which regardless, like those are just crazy whiff numbers just in terms of volume. He was more than 3 ticks harder on his fastball velocity in this game than his 2024 average. Now, again, it's one start. He didn't throw that many pitches. We'll see what that average looks like moving forward. But that's a significant uptick. The life on the pitch is outstanding. I would expect him to keep missing bats even when the hitters get better in the box. But, I mean, a left-handed pitcher with this sort of unique fastball traits, fortunately, we had him in a good spot to begin with, unlike Mr. Forbes. But another pitcher who I'm just like, I mean, he has more innings than Forbes does under his belt. He's thrown 50-plus innings in back-to-back seasons, but that was a really loud start for Doyle.
Super. I'm happy you mentioned the 18 whiffs is just outlandish. The fastball's a comfortably plus pitch as we saw on Friday. And he was untouchable. He was sat in the mid 90s. It was up to 99. Varies its shape well, I think, from like a metric and analytical standpoint. There's a lot to like. He can cut it. He can ride it. It's got a ton of life through the zone. It's a legit swing and miss pitch. He just overpowers guys with it. So,
what do you think about his delivery, Peter? It's pretty high effort. Yeah,
it's efforty. So I mean, like, it's not this smooth, buttery, kind of aesthetically pleasing look. It's this like, it's not stiff, but like,
no, you it's said, just like
it's
you,
like, it's very effort. Efforty.
Yeah, it's so like a deep. Deep arm action. He's got a lot of arm speed, but it's like a head whack and a fall off to the third base side in his finish. So I'm curious how scouts will view him in like the starter reliever conversation. Because he started a decent amount of games. I mean, he started 7 games for Coastal in 23, moved to Ole Miss, started 11 games. Presumably, if he keeps pitching like this, he's going to be starting all spring for Tennessee. But we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I could easily see some scouts being a little more skeptical of him starting at the next level, just given the delivery. But as long as he's throwing strikes and putting it over the plate and missing barrels, like, keep starting him.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, you keep riding him out there as a starter, especially professionally, until you're really proven otherwise. But yeah, I mean, I think he relied really heavily on the fastball because he didn't need to throw anything else.
And also, it's crazy to see 11 strikeouts on 58 pitches. Like, you have to be extremely efficient with your pitches to do that.
Oh, it was insane. You know, I think he's also got a few effective secondaries in the tank. The slider showed positive flashes last spring, same with his cutter. And then he rounds out his arsenal with a kind of this high 70s, low 80s changeup. That's a work in progress, but man, it was really impressive to see him go out there and do that just really with his fastball alone. I don't think that's, again, it's very early, but in terms of how you're doing it, he looked really, really good. And that's a profile that's not going to last very long.
Yeah, not at all. All right. You got anyone else?
I'm trying to think. I want to make sure I'm not missing anyone that really stood out. RJ Austin put a good swing on a ball out here. I think it was EV of like 112, homer just to right of dead center, out at Salt River. Is a really impressive swing. Just a super strong kid.
Yeah, RJ is like a strong, athletic, fast player. He's played center and he's played left. Did you get a good look on him defensively? Do you have any thoughts on maybe where he profiles best? Because he has moved around positions a lot at Vandy. I don't entirely have a clear picture of where he profiles best moving forward, but if you had confidence he could play center field, that would really excite me.
Yeah, I mean, he can go and get it, but the reads and route running in general, I think, are going to need some refinement and a coat of polish. He's a little bit, I'd say, like, raw at the position. He got a fair amount of run out there on the Cape. I mean, I'm sure he'll be used most of the time out there this spring for Vanny, but the arm is fringy. Kind of curious to see like how the general skill set progresses as the season goes on. But as you said, the impact is pretty impressive that he's got packed into his frame. Cause I mean, I think he's listed at like 5'11", 195. Mm-hmm. He's got a ton of natural strength. It's easy plus bat and hand speed. Good athlete in the box. Present contact skills. So, I mean, if he can get to more power in game, because like there is impact, like he already exceeded his max EV from last year in one weekend. And granted, you know, it's a whole different discussion about the bats and metal and what have you, but still encouraging. And that was like one of the most impressive swings, I think, from the tournament last weekend.
Nice. That's awesome. All right. I think that's all I had in terms of players that I wanted to hit on, Peter, but definitely check out the content we got on the site. There's plenty more for you guys to dig into throughout the spring. Each week we'll have plenty for you guys to read, and we'll be covering the draft on this podcast throughout the spring as well. So Peter, is there anything you want to plug moving forward? Anything you're excited for this weekend that you think people should be checking out?
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be a constant stream now of college and draft content, which is, you know, so awesome. And it'll keep being updated as the season goes on. And, you know, I have my weekly what to watch for piece supplemented with various draft pieces and analysis and all that. So, I mean, as always, like, it's going to be an interesting slate this weekend. We're still in the part of the season where it's headlined by these multi-team events. You have the Round Rock Classic, the College Baseball Series. That's literally what it's called down at Globe Life.
We need some marketing people to get on that one and figure something better out for that.
Yeah, the name is the name doesn't necessarily get the juices flowing, but it's a solid field. You got Arkansas, Michigan, TCU, and K-State, and then you have the Jacks College Baseball Classic, where you got NC State, Coastal Carolina. But the best matchup will be in the Round Rock Classic with Oregon State and UVA. That'll be a blast. So, I mean, it'll be the case every single weekend, but solid slate on tap, plenty to follow from a draft standpoint. So just very happy that the baseball's back.
Yes, baseball is back. If you guys are like me and you get next to nothing from the MLB spring training videos of big leaguers playing catch, please tune into some real live college baseball this weekend. It'll get the blood flowing again, get you excited for the actual action. You'll be watching the actual action and players who are going to go on day one of the draft this year. Plenty to be found in really all over the country. So, Peter, 1 week down, excited to actually be talking about some real baseball here. But for you guys listening, thank you for hanging out with us. Thanks for supporting Baseball America. We really appreciate you allowing us to do what we do, to go to these tournaments and report from the field and get video and really give you the best coverage we can. We wouldn't be able to do it without Baseball America subscribers. So if you're listening and you have not subscribed, but this podcast has been interesting to you, I would definitely encourage you to check out a subscription to the website. You can also check out all the content we're rolling out on the YouTube channel. Lots of pro stuff, deep dives into farm systems for every major league team in baseball as we get closer to the regular season starting. Plenty on the site for you guys to take in. So thanks for hanging out with us. For Peter, I'm Carlos. We'll see you next time, everybody.
It seems like everyone is either starting a side hustle or becoming their own boss. And you know what they're hearing a lot? It's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/sell23. All lowercase. Whether you're selling loafers or peace lilies, Shopify simplifies selling online and in person. Covering all sales channels, from a shop front POS system to its all-in-one e-commerce platform, Shopify even gets you selling across social media marketplaces. With their 24/7 help and extensive business course library, Shopify is ready to support your success every step of the way. Go to shopify.co.uk/sell23 to take your business to the next level today. That's shopify.co.uk/sell23.